And in studio with me right now, we have City Councilor Jay Delisio. Good morning.
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. We're gonna talk a little bit more about the work that you've done. You've done a lot of work for the city of Attleboro since you've started as an at-large councilor. Never been a ward one. Never been a ward councilor. You wanted to kind of take a look at the entire city as a whole.
I think it was more where the opportunity was. Yeah. When I first decided to run back in 2011, I was living in Ward 3 at the time.
Right.
Currently now I'm in Ward 2. And Frank Cook, who's retiring at the end of this term, was a Ward 3 counselor. I saw an opportunity to potentially get involved. So in 2001, I talked with some of my close friends, obviously my wife Amy, and we decided at large is the way we'd go. Mm-hmm. And this is our fourth campaign for at large.
That is amazing. I mean, as I've been mentioning this morning and the last couple of days, that you've been working a lot. You work with the police department.
Yep.
You've been doing a lot of work with them as helping with the public safety in the area. You also, I've seen you volunteer at some of the schools. I know this, yep, past year you were over where Ryan goes to school at Coelho.
Coelho, yeah.
You were doing their stuff that I was also DJing outside with their paint and other things.
The color run, yeah.
Yeah, the color run.
Coelho PTO put that on. My wife Amy, Kristen Houle and Laura Fairweather did, mm-hmm, a lot of the heavy lifting on that. It was such an amazing time.
It was.
It was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I guess a lot of other schools have been following in the same suit.
But, oh, of course.
But Coelho is, Coelho is one of those schools that you almost sometimes forget it's out in South Attleboro in that area. But it is a great school, and within the last, I don't know how many years ago, that, you know, a beautiful school has been renovated.
Absolutely.
You know, just amazing looking, and the cafeteria and the auditorium kind of almost next to each other. How beautiful it is. And that auditorium is probably, I think, one of the nicest ones that the city does have.
Oh, I agree. Ryan is now in sixth grade. And
already.
Yeah, already. And he's loving it. He's doing really, really well over there. And I'll tell you, the principal, Andy Bowles, mm-hmm, does a fantastic
great job.
You
nice
know?
Guy, too.
Yeah, really. And the entire staff. We've been really, really lucky. Since we pulled Ryan from St. John's after his first grade, mm-hmm, you know, he had a wonderful experience at Willett, and that continues now at Coelho. You know, this is second year at Coelho, so it's an awesome community to be part of, and, you know, glad to be helping out any way I can on the PTO. Those people do amazing
job.
Things.
And I got a chance to meet Andy, the principal there, at this past year, and boy, he is so down to earth, and he's kind of like your brother. He talks to you like your family, and it's exactly the way you feel when you,
yep,
talk to Andy.
I've known Andy for over 20 years.
Wow.
We're both alumni from Westfield State College, so I've known him a long time, and knowing him as long as I've known him, it just really, I can't express how lucky we are to, mm-hmm, have him in this community, and as a father, how lucky I am to have my son at his school.
Right.
So it's just been great, and their curriculum night was last night, and really looking forward to another good year.
Ah, that's exactly right. Jay Delisio, City Councilor at Large, in studio with us. We have our final update now with Gina Brown as the traffic situation continues. Gina.
Well, we get trouble in Pawtucket with a crash down by exit 27 on 95 South. Rhode Island DOT puts it in the right travel lane and shoulder. So you want to be careful if you're going to be heading down there. Maybe you're already in the car heading that way. The delays start right after the East Street exit. So right around just south of exit 30 is where you can start to hit the brakes. Now, that could get worse before it gets better. And even if you get through that, you're back on the brakes around Branch Avenue. Looking at the ride here on 146, not a lot better. You're back to Cobble Hill Road, 610 connector. Full and overflowing. Route 6 is not quite back to Killingley Street anymore. 295 North is heavy transitioning onto 95 in Attleboro, but the southbound side looks great all the way down to Johnston. Or maybe you want to try to use Newport Avenue or Route 1 to try to get down, head south. Fair amount of volume there, but nothing unusual going on. Around Attleboro, we do have heavy traffic on North Main, County, and Thatcher, and Pleasant. It's not too bad, though, on 95 North from the state line all the way up to 152. A little pocket of slow traffic approaching 495, and then another one by 140, and then you're back on the brakes at Walpole Street, and that continues all the way through Canton. Better in Bellingham on 495 North, but we're on the brakes coming out of Milford all the way up to the Mass Pike. It's not stop and go the whole way, but it is slow. Expressway, still full and overflowing. No change. 24 North is still back to 27. No troubles out to the South Coast. We're looking good there. We do still have some delays trying to get into Newport on 138 East. That'll be the norm. Of course, this afternoon will be the westbound side trying to get out. Next report coming up for me tomorrow morning. I'm Gina Brown with your AM 1320 traffic.
All right. Sounds good, Gina. Thanks so much. All right. In studio with me, of course, is City Councilor Jay DeLisio running for re-election for the City Council. A lot of men and women this year, a huge amount of people. We haven't seen a lot of these people run for City Council and even school committee once again in a while. But I know we mentioned, I mentioned this earlier, and I know that you were brought up in Stoneham, Mass. So tell us a little bit about the background on Jay DeLisio. A lot of people may not know, you know, your background.
Yeah, I grew up in Stoneham. My mother raised four boys by herself. So
she's an awesome woman anyways.
Oh, well, thank you. Amazing, amazing woman. And probably one of the strongest people I've ever met in my life. The four of us, we were not easy to raise. You know, we Ryan's always looking to my uncle, to his uncles, my brothers. Like, come on, you got any stories on Dad? What did Dad used to be like? You know, and we were good kids. You know, we were mischievous, but we never got into trouble. We, you know, and just because it's the way we were brought up. Graduated Stoneham High School, 1994. Went on to Westfield State College, where I ran track with Attleboro's own Jerry Gravel.
You know?
Who's out in San Diego now, still talk to Coach all the time, and he's still very connected to Attleboro. So it's funny, the circles we make in life, and you never know who will come in and who will come out and then who will come back in. So it's
kind of like now that you see Andy at Coello Middle School, at Coello School now over there as well.
Yeah, it's a great example of it, you know, and Captain Poirier in the police department I went to college with. John Buckley on the is a firefighter, I think he's a lieutenant I went to college with. So. You know, we always joke, like, Westfield did okay for ourselves. So, but yeah, we moved to Attleboro in 2004. Actually, we moved into our first house on North Main Street the day Vince Wilfork was drafted. So, and Amy and I just fell in love with the city, and I started getting involved slowly but surely. Mostly with the Attleboro GOP. And as I said, the opportunity presented itself to run for office in 2011. We took the opportunity and worked hard, and you know, as an unknown, we were happy. I was able to get on board. Lost the following election in 2013, but I still believed in where the city was going, believed in the city, believed in the vision of the city, and I joined the Attleboro Redevelopment Authority, where I worked with Judy Robbins very closely, Rick Correa, Benny Keene, and of course Jackie Romanecki. And then I also joined the police commission. So I spent 2 years as a police commissioner working closely with Mae Gowen and Glenn Marshall and Chief Hegney. And really, as far as I'm concerned, I think we have one of the, if not the best police departments in the state. I think Chief Hegney's a very dynamic leader. I think that when we look at all the challenges that face any society today, I think we're out in front of a lot of it. And you know, I'm always getting compliments from residents who will call me or stop me and say, hey, I had this encounter with the Attleboro police. It was outstanding. Or I had this encounter with, you know, Officer so-and-so, and really they took the time to walk me through the process. And, you know, that's what it's really about. And that's what sets our guys aside from, I think, the rest.
Yeah, I know that we've had Carrie Ballou from Arbor Fuller here a few times here in the studio. In fact, she was here, I believe, yesterday as well. With the POP program, with Chief Hegney's outfit as well, an amazing force that the chief has, and I know you've seen them in action here and there, and you know, especially with a lot of these addictions, these opioid addictions, you know, very huge. And I mean, that, thank God we have places, you know, to take care of these places like Arbor Fuller. You know, and they do an amazing job. We were down there a few months ago with a live broadcast there, and now with the Healthy Initiative, the consortium they are having, especially with the kids trying to get the healthy choices in schools, I think it's just a win-win.
Yeah, it has to be. And I mean, when we look at where the society we're in across the country today is so different than it was 15, 20 years ago. Yeah. I think the advent and just the boom of social media has helped that. Mm-hmm. Social media certainly has a lot of positives, but I think there are a lot of pitfalls if we're not careful. And that changes the game for everyone involved, from police to local officials to state and national, to really kind of be more proactive, be a little more nimble in how we approach things. And I think that locally here, I think, again, the Attleboro Police has done a really nice job of leading the way there.
Mm-hmm. Now, also in your background, you've had a lot, and you're still doing banking. You know the financial concerns, especially at home and even in business as well for the city.
Yeah, I spent 16 years as a retail banking. Mm-hmm. I think 14 or 15 of those as a retail bank manager. So, seen an awful lot of things. I actually left the banking world last August of 2016, mm-hmm. and I've been a district manager for the Registry of Motor Vehicles since then. So it was a challenge really going through the great collapse of 2008 and coming around and coming out of it and helping people. It was very rewarding when you're able to help people plan for their future, help people plan for their wedding, mm-hmm. plan for their first child, buy their first house, all that. It got really, it's very emotional, and you get very attached to the people. But you also learn an awful lot about really the inner workings of the economy, mm-hmm. and what a new checking account is to us in the bank might be, your son's first checking account ever. And sometimes you forget to have that emotional quotient with it.
Now, as a going back to the council, yep. If everything goes well in your way, what can you continue to bring back to the council?
I'd like to say common sense. Mm-hmm. I think I'm proven to be an independent voice. I vote every measure on the merits of what's in front of us, not who brought it down, who wants it. It's really important because Attleboro is grown. And, we've done a great job of, as a community, continuing to really flourish with Blue Pride and see a lot of these projects come to fruition. So we want to keep that going. We want to be able to continue to say, hey, Attleboro is the best city in the state to live mm-hmm. in. And that's what we want to continue to do. I'm going to continue to advocate for the residents. And that's one thing that especially this term, a lot of people have been reaching out to me. And, it's funny because you have six different wards. You have hundreds and hundreds of miles of streets.
Sure.
And every single street, every single resident has an issue or concern that's unique to them. And what I really enjoy most about that is being able to go out and help them, or at least try to help them and listen to them and be that advocate, someone who's going to bring back what they say, bring it back to the council, bring it back to the administration if need be, and work together with everyone involved in order to get that done. And there's a couple issues I'm working on now with residents that might be a little tricky, but that's my job. I have to stand there shoulder to shoulder mm-hmm. with them and say, hey, I'm going to be there with you. Let's get this done. But it's about being clear and concise. And, I've never been a person to just yes people to death, like, oh, yeah, that's going to be easy to take mm-hmm. care of. I'm very direct. If it's something that's difficult, I'm going to tell you straight out it's difficult, but I'm also going to say here's the way we can handle it.
Right. And I've seen you in action doing that. The other thing that's actually in the paper today, the Beagle Club Road incident.
Yep.
I know that is something, especially in Ward 2, that people are still pretty much aware of that as well.
Yeah, and that's something that we've been working on as a council, and I say we. This is council after council after council. These issues, whether it's Manchester, whether it's Beagle Club, have been around for 40 years. You go back to the 70s mm-hmm. and you look at the minutes, the 60s, you're seeing this in there. So Heather Preaker and I, excuse me, have been working with the neighbors pretty closely on Beagle mm-hmm. Club, as well as a lot of the fishermen and a lot of the people who like to use Manchester. And they're two succinct issues, but yet they're congruent at the same time. My goal is to open up Manchester for passive recreation And the way the ordinance is now, as I said Tuesday night, there's a lot of ambiguity in that mm-hmm. because it doesn't say you can't use it for passive recreation, right. but it doesn't say that you can use it for passive recreation. So, you know, we brought it out in March because it's been sitting in my committee for some time. We had a neighborhood meeting, Heather and I, and we invited people to come down and talk about mm-hmm. issues with the parking, issues with Manchester. And we want to be fair because it's such a gem to this city. Mm-hmm. And if I don't know if you've been back there or not, but it is absolutely gorgeous. It's a lot of trails. It's beautiful, and we're lucky to have it. But on the other side of the coin, I feel really, really badly for what the neighbors at Unbeagle Club have had to endure over the last several years. So we had a parking ban in place where it was no parking, and that's it. And that's a sacrifice the neighbors have to make, too, because when they have a party, no one can park there. They can't park there.
Right.
But as I've said, the other side of that is I want to make sure that we're not pushing the problems outside to the surrounding neighborhoods, which I'm glad to report from what it looks like, there really weren't any problems this summer in terms of it being pushed out, in terms of issues on Beagle Club. So we're still continuing that dialogue with the neighbors, and Heather Parika, Mark Cooper, and I, we've been in constant contact with the neighbors, and we're hopeful that within the next several weeks, couple months, we'll have something hammered out, and we'll be able to turn the page officially on that.
You know, being a resident in Ward 2 myself, not that far from the reservoir, you know, it's kind of interesting now that, you know, since the police department and the city council put kind of that ban a while back, you know, kind of now staying away from it to make sure everything is hammered out. You know, Carol and myself, and back then when we did have our dog at the time, used to go up there and walk the trails, you know, and it was really nice and just a beautiful area, especially now with the trees starting
Absolutely.
Changing stuff around. But now I have seen some other people going up there every once in a while. I know that the fire department does training in that area, especially with their boats that they do have. But it's something that it's still an ongoing situation there.
It is an ongoing situation, and I think we're gonna find the right compromise. Mm. And you know, as I said on the floor the other day, we're faced with the decision, which is ultimately going to be the cleanest shirt in the dirty clothes pile. Mm-hmm. So, with a good compromise, nobody gets everything they want, but everybody gets something that they want, and that's really what we need to be looking at.
Couple of other things that I know that you're very passionate about as well, not just the city, but you live in the area of the New England Sports Village.
Yes.
This is something that you have seen from the beginning when it was nothing there, and now you've got the barn there, you've got the ice rink, and now you've got the pool's going to be opening up down the line. They got to start putting ground there. But all the way down, I mean, into the area and all the way down to Comedy Street, a huge plus for the city. And I think, as you said before, this is going to be yet another one of the gems that the city's going to have.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was fortunate because I've been able to look at this project from a couple different angles. Yeah. My first term is when David Boucher and Joe Fitzpatrick came in with Judy Robbins, and we had a press conference. Mm-hmm. I think it was late September in 2013. And we're all like, hey, what's this about? This is great. And that's when they announced the plans for the New England Sports Village. Of course, there were some bumps along the way, and I do have to credit the ARA with the Herculean job that they do. I had someone say to me, they're like, you know what, this city doesn't have half of what we have if it isn't for the ARA. Mm-hmm. I can't agree more. And I'm probably a little biased spending 2 years on the ARA. And during that two-year span, I worked with Judy and Rick, especially with David Boucher and Joe Fitzpatrick, to really see this thing become what it's going to be and what we're starting to see it become, rather. So it's great. We were actually at the barn last night for dinner after a long day at work, and it's great. It's great to see the people that are in there. It's always busy in there, but you
They've
can always get a seat.
They've added new staff now. They've added more staff and more food to the menu as well.
Yeah, the chef's doing a great job over there, really continuing to change and challenge the menu, and it's great. I love the pizza there. Mm. I mean, two paisans.
Yeah, really.
You know, I mean, we like the pizza, but it's really good. They use the fresh ingredients. They make the dough fresh every day. But it's just a wonderful addition to the city, and it has turned Attleboro into a destination, which it always should have been anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
So now you have people coming from Rhode Island, different parts of Massachusetts, for figure skating, for ice hockey, right, for practices, for special events they have. And the Bond does really a good job of giving back. I know mm-hmm. that they've had fundraisers for the Titans, for the White Hawks. Last night was for diabetes, where 30% of your meal on those nights go to those charities, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. So it's great to see local businesses really giving back and investing back into the community.
Yeah, and not only, you know, that they do a great job with there with the food, they've got, there's a lot of other things that in there. You've got the you've got a little gift shop. You've got the yogurt station there. You've got a Dunkin' Donuts. You got a little bit of everything in there for everyone.
Yeah,
and you know, it's I think personally that area is going to be huge, especially when all goes through fruition. Now, are they looking at a completion year? I mean, it's probably not going to be for a while.
It's not going to be for a while. I don't know what that completion date is. They're doing it pot and parcel, which I think is probably the right way to approach.
Yeah.
I know they're partnered with the Bluefish for the pool, and you know, there's another amazing organization uh-huh. to have in our community. You know, but yeah, it's going to be piece by piece, and they want to make sure that they're doing everything the right way. So, you know, wish them all the best.
Something that I know that since, you know, I've been friends with you for a while now, it's something that you were, and I always keep saying this, you can hear the passion in your voice, but something that's also very passionate is something that wasn't around, I think, last year, maybe this year, who knows, but you got involved with Attleboro Restaurant Week as well a few years ago. Talk a little bit about that.
Sure,
I know
absolutely.
This is something that you really wanted to get a lot of our local businesses involved in.
Absolutely. Attleboro, we did one in 2016.
Right.
2017, you know, we kind of took a step back and said, well, we have some new restaurants coming in.
Right.
You know, Scorpio's was leaving, Park Street Ale House was coming in, The Bond was coming in. So we just wanted to kind of let those guys get established. I'll be meeting with the mayor at some point soon. I'll be reaching out to the mayor, and mm-hmm. we're hoping in either December, January. But, you know, we'll be doing it again. And Attleboro Restaurant Week, I mean, I worked in Boston for years, you know, West Roxbury. So I saw Boston Restaurant Week. My family's from Salem Restaurant mm-hmm. Week, Providence Restaurant Week, Newport Restaurant Week. So it was about 6 years ago, I said to Amy, I said, why not Attleboro Restaurant Week? We have great restaurants
and
here.
Now with a lot of new ones coming
absolutely.
Back to the city, especially down even in South Attleboro, you've got
absolutely.
A ton of them down there now.
Without a doubt. And, you know, it's fun, and it gives the community something to do, and it really gives the businesses a nice shot in the arm. Mm. And I've always been about shop local, eat local, stay local. You know, we talked about the 350 project for years and years and years. And it's simple. Take three businesses you'd hate to see leave the city, spend $50 amongst the three, just $50, you know? So Ryan and I will go out and we'll go to, we used to go to Ugly Dog Books, then we'd go to Ryan's, then we'd go to, you know, one of the restaurants for lunch. Well, you do that once, we called it Father Sunday.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was our thing. It's still our thing. And, but that's the way you support local businesses. And what that's going to do is that's what's going to encourage more businesses to come in. Programs like Attleboro Restaurant Week, when the community really embraces and focuses, and Attleboro is so passionate about the businesses they have here. And that's, again, there's so many things that sets Attleboro aside from other communities, even in the area. We're looking forward to doing another Attleboro Restaurant Week, and it'll be big this year. So
now, as a city councilor and a resident, you see other places that are Some of the businesses are, you know, it's you see not as many as it was before. Lucky enough that when I started working here in Attleboro in 1984, you saw a lot of great businesses. Still, you've got another great business that's still here. Of course, you said Ryan's, mm-hmm. Ryan and Sons. You've got Morin's. You've got a lot of those great community people out there as well. Would you like to see, or will it ever happen again as we see, you've got North Attleboro doing pretty well. There's a few places going. Mm-hmm. Taunton has still got, you know, the mall there. But can Attleboro come back at all?
Of course.
Yeah, I think
one thing about this community is we're resilient.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen that time and time again. What happens in across the economy and across really the state is you saw the malls boom mm-hmm. in the mid to late 80s, and that killed the brick and mortar store.
Right.
Then you started to see online really booming.
We're seeing it
Amazon
now for
Benny's.
Exactly.
Absolutely. And so, yeah, it's a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you're also seeing a whole movement of people want that brick and mortar. Yeah. People want to be able to walk downtown and go to the bakery, go to the, you know, get lunch, get your nails done, that whole thing. Do I think it can happen? Yeah, I certainly think it can happen. Mm-hmm. And it's something that's very important to me, Dom, and it always has been. And mm-hmm. I think we need to continue to look at the regulations and see, are there regulations out there that might be antiquated? Mm-hmm. Is it something we can pull back? Is it something we can change? I talk to business owners, and it's not all about the taxes. You know, there's other things. So let's see what we can do.
Yeah, definitely. City Councilor Jay DeLizio in studio for a bit this morning. Would you like to take phone calls? If we can get a couple of phone calls a little later on this morning before 9 o'clock, certainly try to do that. Because we do have Jim Corbin's updated forecast in just a moment as well. But we shall return in just a moment, and Jim will be joining us in just a second.
The Beard Gallery at Wheaton College will exhibit Drawn Threads from September 5th to October 21st. The six artists in the exhibition rely on thread as both inspiration and a drawing tool, creating works that span sculpture, installation, photography, and painting. The artists in the exhibition are Jay Carpenter, Marjorie Forte, Leslie Schomp, Jody Stevens, Antoinette Winters, and Melissa Zexter. For more information about the exhibit, including gallery hours, you can email arts@wheatoncollege.edu.
The Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks has been part of the Attleboro area since 1906. They have always been involved in community service and charitable fundraising, giving back to our veterans, supporting our seniors, and providing youth enrichment opportunities, such as soccer and hoop shoots, fishing derbies, and dictionary projects, while also providing academic scholarships. The Elks are over 800 strong locally, and their members are their greatest asset. To learn more, you can go to attleboroelks.org. Remember, Elks care, Elks share.
Using WIC is easier than ever. Now you can use the WIC card instead of checks for your food purchases. WIC is a free nutrition program that helps working families stretch their food budget and make healthy choices. WIC helps families learn to shop for nutritious foods and offers resources like online nutrition education and an app to make shopping easier. Visit us online at mass.gov/WIC to find out if you qualify. This message is brought to you by the Massachusetts Department of Public Health's WIC Nutrition Program.
Claudino's Auto Repair, located at 310 South Main Street in Attleboro, is celebrating 25 years in the auto and truck repair business. Over the years, John Claudino and his team of mechanics have worked to build a long-lasting rapport with their customers, from oil changes to diagnostics, transmissions, and routine maintenance on foreign and domestic cars and trucks. Claudino's will keep your vehicle running. Claudino's Auto Repair, 508-226-8545 or at claudinosautorepair.com.
All right, we've got Jim Corbin now standing by once again with our next update for us on the forecast, Jim.
Well, Don, we've got some drier air moving in. Just looking literally a minute ago at some observations, dew points are falling, and that means lower humidity. The rain still on the Cape right now. That is going to move off the northern edge of Maria, the tropical storm, now merging with the front. So the front is starting to win out, pushing that moisture out to sea. So good news, I think, for the greater Attleboro area. We've got drier breezes already. I'm noting winds picking up to about 15 miles an hour out of the north and northwest. So that bodes well for mainly sunny skies for the rest of this morning and this afternoon, and also lower humidity. You'll notice it feeling more refreshing as each hour passes. Temperatures will only go up a few degrees, but the humidity will drop, falling back to about 50 by tomorrow morning. So if you leave your windows open, there'll still be kind of a breeze overnight. It's not going to be one of those typical nights where the wind drops off. There'll still be a breeze. So if you have a window that faces north or northwest, where you sleep, perhaps you might want to consider maybe closing it, or it'll be a little chilly in the morning. But we'll have a nice rebound to the mid-60s tomorrow. Fall is definitely here weather-wise over the coming days. And then on Saturday, probably the less nice day overall of the weekend, clouds and sun with a few scattered showers. Nothing widespread, but again, affecting a few outdoor activities. Upper 50s for highs. Yeah, upper 50s on Saturday. But again, that's not that typical or atypical for late September. And then mostly sunny skies after a chilly start Sunday morning. We should reach back to about 65. Early next week, we start out dry. Another week to 10 days, we may have to monitor the tropics again. But after Maria, fortunately, taking a right turn last night, and right now it's headed towards Europe, believe it or not. That's about it for the tropics for the next week to 10 days. Nothing much going on, although signs indicate that it could get active again in about another 10 days. So again, overall, just a wonderful stretch of weather coming up. If you're someone who does not like the heat and humidity for September standards that we've had recently.
That is for sure. All right, Jim, thanks so much. We'll be back with you in the morning.
Talk to you then. Thanks.
Okay. The other thing that I know that we want to talk a little bit more about is, in fact, you just said it off here, and because we were talking with Paul Healy just a second ago, you had mentioned something that you wanted to talk about a little bit more, and I can't remember what the heck it is because Paul just came in the studio and just started talking about something else, and it sidetracked me at the time, and I can't remember what it is now.
If it's any consolation, nor can I.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
But for anyone listening, this is what Dom's relationship with me is always like. Mm-hmm. We always start talking about one thing, we go
and
off
we go
track.
To someplace
this
else.
Is the dynamic of Dom and Jay.
That's exactly right, yeah. You're talking about Abbott and Costello, how about Delicio and Catoya together?
There you go. Like it. Who's on first?
Yeah, exactly. I know that, you know, as you've been working with the council, a lot of other things that are behind you as well. And, you know, there's a lot of new things as you start going into this brand new year with the city council. Are there other new projects that are coming up in the near future? I know it's got to go through the mayor and it's got to go through the council, but something else that you've been working on as well.
Well, not so much working on. I mean, one, it's interesting because it's an interesting dichotomy mm-hmm. when you're running for office while holding office, because you have to campaign and you have to do the job, still have to be a husband, have to be a father, have to go to work every day. So to answer the question is, I'll worry about January if I'm lucky enough to get back on the mm-hmm. council. Right now, I want to focus on what's in front of us and continue to finish this term strong. I want to clear out a lot of the stuff that's in my committee. I want to continue to mentor the Attleboro Youth Commission, mm-hmm. who we're meeting tonight at 6:30.
That was the thing I was on my mind. Talk a little bit more about the Youth Commission.
Sure, yeah. I've been involved with the Attleboro Youth Commission since really 2011, and it's just amazing group of civically minded mm-hmm. kids. Easy for me to say. So they do a lot of great things. They raise a lot of money for fundraising for charities across the city. They do a lot of fun stuff for membership drives. They participate, you know, most notably with Betty Poirier's event for the seniors in North Attleboro, the Senior Spectacular. They helped out with Soup for Heat. They raised money for Soup for Heat. And right now they're working on a 10th anniversary of the Youth Commission, which will be in October, kind of a Halloween party, and we're trying to finalize the details, but we're looking the weekend of October 28th. Mm-hmm. And last year, one thing they did is they collected extra candy and they sent it off to the troops overseas.
Oh, I remember
so
that, yeah.
it's really amazing, and the group's led by Ellie Kirby, who's the chair, Sarah Ribeiro's the vice chair, and Connor Hanrahan, Logan Gallagher, Kira Davis, Connor Davis, all amazing. It's just an amazing board of, you know, kids in the 6th, 7th, 8th grade who are really vested in this community at such an early age. And, you know, they go to every single meeting, and the meetings are great. And we're trying to teach them a little bit about Robert's Rules of Order, mm-hmm. trying to teach them a little bit about how the government works in general. And we run our meetings almost like a junior city council,
right?
You know, and I forgot Katie Preston's on the board as well.
Mm-hmm. Is Ryan's a part of that as
yep,
well?
Yep, Ryan's a new member, and mm-hmm. you know, as he says, he's like, I've been doing this since I was about 5 anyway, because
yeah.
he'd be coming to the meetings and everything else. So it was really great when he got sworn in. I think it was in February, mm-hmm. so that was a lot of fun, and glad to be part of that.
Yeah, when you shared the picture on Facebook of Ryan getting sworn in, you know, that was something, a thrill of a lifetime. You know, I could see Ryan down the line running for city council. I really can. But you never know. I mean, I know I've talked to him before in the past, and he, at some point, how old is he now?
He's 11.
11 years old. I know that he had mentioned to me a while back, he says, I wouldn't mind sitting in the corner office at City Hall as a mayor. I mean, the way he's going, I wouldn't doubt it either. I mean, it's a kid is amazing. Oh, he really kid. Is. But the other thing is that
he's going to be something someday, whatever he, really he wants to be. Amy and I are US truly, Senator, who knows? Truly lucky to have Ryan. He's just awesome. He really, really is.
You know, and that's exactly what my next question is, what's a comment, is with the help of Ryan and your lovely wife, Amy, and a lot of your family and friends, mm-hmm. This couldn't go on. I mean, because you have 150,000% behind your family and a lot of people that you know and love as well.
I've been beyond lucky. The people that I've met throughout this journey, really, win, lose, or draw. I mean, there's no way to lose. You know, I mean, the friendships that I've made, the relationships mm-hmm. that we've forged, and you know, you've seen us, and the friends we've made in this community have become family, mm-hmm. and that's really special. But you're right, I can't do any of this without Amy's support, without Ryan's support, because there's every night of the week there's something, you know, and then if there's a Saturday where I don't have to go out and knock on doors or go to a meeting or whatever, Amy tends to be working. Mm-hmm. So it's meshing the schedules, but it doesn't work without that support. And, you know, I mean, Amy is, as far as I'm concerned, and she'll say no, but she's a genius. Mm-hmm. She's an absolute genius when it comes to the marketing, the communications piece. But as great as she is at that, she's a better mother. She's a better wife. And, you know, they say the old adage, behind every man is a great woman. Uh-huh. Well, behind this man is an absolute superwoman. Uh-huh. And, you know, Amy does amazing things. So she does a lot for the community, too. And she's so much more of a behind-the-scenes person. Yeah. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. Without the support of the people at your breakfast table, you're never going to be able to get anything done.
You also do have your a lot of constituent hours. You very, very strong on that. You also in the past, I know that not only the GOP headquarters up on Pleasant Street, but as I said, the constituent hours were very, very huge mm-hmm. for you in the last year or so, last couple of years. And that is something I know that you want to continue going to and different places. You mm-hmm. you try to get a convenient place for everyone.
Yeah, and admittedly, I haven't been doing that so much mm-hmm. The last year. But one thing that I did in the past and something I want to do again is we held monthly constituent hours at a different locally owned business mm-hmm. across the city to help support the businesses, but still let people know that I'm accessible and I want to listen to what's going on. Really haven't done it. My schedule has really
right.
made that more difficult this year, especially with the new job with the RMV, which is been just a wonderful experience. But constituent hours have changed because I'm always getting people calling me or emailing me or sending me private messages on Facebook, whether it's dealing with, you know, where's the line of my property versus city property, mm-hmm. whether it's, you know, I have this new ordinance I want to talk to you about, whether it's, hey, can you call the police? Because I have a question about this, or, you know, there's an issue with a crosswalk here. We have an issue mm-hmm. with signs. And, you know, what's great is I look at the department heads across the city, and they're fantastic because they look at the residents as their own constituent base, which I think is just fantastic, you know. And they're so good. You know, I think of Dennis Walsh and Lance Hill, just really to name a few. And they do a fantastic job of really putting the needs of the mm-hmm. of the resident first and really making it a priority. You know, Gary Rajan, Stan Nasowitz, I could go on for all 23 departments. Mm-hmm. So we're really, really lucky to have the team that we have.
Yeah, we are very lucky, and you know, and
team of department heads.
And I think ever since I moved here to Attleboro, I've seen great people. Made tremendous impact, you know, with the TV and the radio, yep. you know, as I said, from years back. And you see a lot of people, and you have seen changes. But in our last few moments, we have about 5 minutes left. First of all, someone can get in touch with you. I know you're very accessible. Mm-hmm. How can they get in touch with you? I know you're on social media as well.
Yep. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. My cell phone, my personal cell phone is 508-838-7328. My email is my first name, J-A-Y, last name, Delisio, D-I-L-I-S-I-O, @gmail.com. Call. You know, we can't help you. if you don't tell us what the issues are. So, you know, I've been out knocking on doors the last couple months, and a lot of great feedback from people out there. And, you know, people are generally happy, but we still want to make sure that, you know, I'm accessible. If there's anything you need, call. And that's what I tell people whenever I meet them. That's why I give my personal cell phone.
Yeah, and I know that in the last remaining moments here, the last few minutes, I know that you want to mention to the people why they should get in touch with you, or why you can be there, then stay on the council.
Yeah, as November 7th approaches, I'm asking for your consideration to put me back to work for the people of Attleboro. And I think over my term, I've shown to be someone who is true to their word. I'm honest, I'm even keeled, but I care. I care about the city, I care about you, I care about your families, and it's you and your families that's my motivation with every vote that I take. It's our future is our children, and every vote that we take, it has to be focused on the future as well as the present. I'm someone who's gonna go out and I'm gonna work hard. I'm not gonna be right all the time, we're not gonna agree all the time, but I can guarantee that we can have a conversation whenever there's a question, a concern. People call me up and like, I hated the way you took that vote. Okay, tell me why you did it, and we'll have a conversation. They still might not agree with it, but at the end of the conversation, we will have had that respectful conversation. So I'm accessible. I'm here for you. I'm doing this for you. So feel free to call me with any questions, concerns you have.
Yeah, and of course, is there still time to get involved with your campaign?
Always. Always. We're looking for people to hold signs, come out door knocking, just whatever you want to do to help. If you'd like to work, I'd love to have you. Mm-hmm. We're so lucky. The volunteers I have on my team have just been a force, and they're outstanding. So we're always welcoming new members in, and it's always great to see new faces.
It really is. Jay DeLisle, thanks so much for coming down. And,
thanks for having me, Don.
And hopefully, if all goes well for you, November 7th will come, and you'll see yourself as a reelected councilor.
Well, I hope so. And, Dom, thank you so much. And just remember, vote DeLisle at large. November 7th.
Oh, that's the other thing. That's the thing that you wanted to mention. I just remember, you're at number one on the ballot.
Yes, we had the drawing this past, what's today? Thursday? So Tuesday. Days are running together, guys. So I was fortunate enough to grab the top spot. So just look for DeLisle at the number one spot on the ballot on November 7th.
Sounds good.
Hey, thanks so much, Tom.
All right, Jay. Bye, thanks
Paul.
So much.
Take care, Jay.
All right. Of course, Jay DeLisle here running for a re-election here in the city of Attleboro. That's going to wrap it up for yours truly now here on your Thursday morning. Paul's coming your way next. We'll do it all again tomorrow morning starting at 6 a.m.